Podcasting from the beautiful San Francisco Bay Area in California, this is Venus Rising, where we discuss all things related to big fertility and encourage you to think beyond the masses. I'm Callie Fell, your host, bringing you the best and most up-to-date conversations on fertility, infertility, and women's reproductive health. Hello, and welcome back to Venus Rising. I'm your host, Callie Fell. Today, I have the pleasure of speaking with Shulamit Ferber, a programmer and feminist activist from Tel Aviv, Israel. Shulamit studied interactive studies at Sapir College at Sderot, Israel. And after college, she started working for the feminist media outlet called Politically Correct. And she was writing about various issues. And in recent years, decided to concentrate on the field of surrogacy and the fertility industry after seeing it boom in Israel. Apart from her day job, Shulamit is a talented cartoonist drawing comics titled Why Ruin Everything? Shulamit, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to speak with us on Venus Rising.
Hi.
It has been, I think, almost exactly, I think November will be a year, since we last spoke or saw each other on Zoom officially. You had Jennifer Law, our founder and president, on to speak with you and some fellow activists and feminists from Israel on a Zoom web conference. And and that's where I met you and learned about what you were doing in Israel. So how have you been this last year and what have you been working on?
Well, I've been doing a lot this year. I switched the job. I did a lot of comics. I was involved in several social struggles. And I continued with the surrogacy, of course, because it continues in Israel. Yeah. So I have no choice.
Yeah, there have been, from my understanding, quite a bit of changes in 2022 to the laws of surrogacy in Israel. Is that right? Or
yes. Yeah, so it was a little before, but gay surrogacy was illegal for many years. And a year ago, they legalized it. And now it came into effect. Okay. So I think it's in the recent months. Okay. They can now do surrogacy in Israel.
So are these gay men, lesbian women? Does it matter? Can you give us a little more detail?
So regarding lesbian women, they can bring a child with a sperm donation. Registering it, it's a bit complicated because of the religious laws in Israel. So they aren't considered married. It's complicated, but they can do it. And regarding gays, they have been doing surrogacy in all other countries for many years. And no one really disturbed them. And now they can do it in Israel too. And about the eggs, I don't know if the government funds it, but I think they can also purchase eggs in Israel, or they might be able to.
Gotcha. So Israel is kind of an interesting place in that it is a booming technology epicenter, right? And it's also governed by very old laws and is deeply rooted in religious laws and practices. So talk us through what it's like, if you know, for a couple or, yeah, I guess just any couple the United States is also very booming for surrogacy and IVF, especially here in California. But it's very different because we're organized or regulated by state. Regulated, I like to use that in quotes because it doesn't seem very, you know, we can't regulate risks. But Israel is very different. So can you kind of talk our listeners through what it's like and what are the legal, does health insurance pay for these procedures and technology, assisted reproductive technologies? What's the route someone has to go to be able to hire a surrogate?
Yes. So first of all, Israel, it funds it's the government that funds the most fertility treatments in the world. We fund it for, I looked for you, $100 million a year.
Wow.
Yeah, even more, $150 million a year. And we fund almost everything. We fund IVF treatments, egg purchase for women that are above the age that they can give birth. Surrogacy, I think it's not funded, but it's fairly easy to do it. Like if you want to do it abroad, so you can travel, you have an agency here that it's just like a contact agency. They contact like surrogacy agencies in US or Ukraine. Ukraine is very popular for Israeli couples. And you go and you do it and you come back. And then the baby, I think he needs to go through like become Jewish. He needs to be converted because he's not considered Jewish if it's not the egg of the woman.
Ah.
Yeah, converted and go through adoption. But there are many like different things, but I wouldn't say it's hard.
Okay. It is expensive, right? It mirrors the United States in that surrogacy is expensive. And that's why couples are attracted to the Ukraine or Nepal or other places where it's less expensive. Is that similar?
So in Israel, it's a set sum. It's around $30,000 to $40,000. But there aren't many women that will do it because we're a rich country. Like, and the average income for a woman, it's higher. So this is the problem. There aren't enough surrogates. And I don't think that there will be. I think that Israelis that go abroad, they will always be like the most.
Because there are women who are willing to do it because they will get paid. They're in a situation where they need extra income. And this is...
Yeah. Yeah, so in Israel, there are cases that like friends do it for friends. There is a small surrogacy industry. We have it. But it's not as easy to find a surrogate like in Ukraine or like in poor countries in the US where it's... And also, if you go abroad, you can get more things because in Israel, it's more regulated.
Gotcha.
Like, the health ministry, they regulate like the contracts. They regulate the surrogates. The woman that becomes a surrogate, she has to see a social worker before. So I wouldn't say it's perfect. Like most of the women that do it in Israel are still like low-income women. But it takes more time here.
When you say that they get more things, what do you mean if they go to like Ukraine, for example?
Like in Ukraine, you can get like crazy stuff, like pay more and the surrogate has to eat kosher food. This is what I told you a year before, like all the extras you can get. So in Israel, it's harder. Like in the US, you can do all this crazy stuff, like take sperm from one man and sperm from the other man,
mm-hmm.
and decide when is the C-section,
mm-hmm.
for example, all these things. So in Israel, it's harder because the women aren't that poor.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is why. So they have more rights.
Yeah.
It's still bad.
Right.
But,
so you became interested, we'll back up a little bit and get to know more about you a little bit. You became interested in surrogacy and fertility since it became more popular in Israel. So is there any one thing or I guess, how did this start for you? Why did it become such a passion, something that you became really interested in other than it just became something that was popular in Israel?
Yeah, so I think since I was little, like I heard about it, there was a case of a woman that lost her womb. Mm. And because in the contract, there was nothing said about it, so she didn't get any money. It came to court, I think it was in the beginning of the 2000s, and she didn't get anything. So this is when I was a teenager, I remember it. And I thought about it, you know, like a teenager, like, is it fair?
Right.
And I thought back then it's not fair. Like they are rich, probably. And even that they don't have children, like they still have their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And she's poorer. And now she doesn't have a womb and she didn't get compensated. So this is when I decided it's bad, but I didn't think too much about it. There's something like exploitative about it and that it's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand in medicine, but I thought if she lost her womb, so. And I heard more cases like that, like one here and one there.
Yeah.
And I think that when it was legalized for gays, this is when I became more interested. And our head of Labor Party, Merav Michaeli, she also brought the child to surrogacy. I told it to Jennifer. Our feminist head of the Labour Party. She was feminist for many years, and she even said she's child free. She doesn't want to bring children. And then last year she surprised everyone, and she and her partner brought a child to surrogacy in the U.S.
Wow.
And then I decided that I have to do it. Because she is like the main, she directs the direction for the other feminists. And I felt there is no one that will talk against it. And also that there is not a lot of knowledge about it here, medical knowledge. Like I wanted like to translate the things I found to Hebrew. Yeah.
And it's hard because not only is there not a lot of knowledge probably in Hebrew, but there's just not a lot of research done on the medical risks that these women are undertaking. And you're exactly right. As Jennifer shared with you, our new research that we just got published in July that interviewed, and this was U.S. surrogate mothers, but we interviewed 96 U.S. surrogate mothers and about their health experiences with their own pregnancies and then with their surrogate pregnancies. And we found that the surrogate pregnancies are higher risk, more likely to result in C-section, which it has its own set of risks, and that these mothers have other adverse events related to their surrogacy pregnancy experiences. But there's just not a lot of research like that being done, unfortunately.
Yeah. So in Israel, there is research, like because we have so much fertility treatments, it's known that it's dangerous. Like women here do a lot of cycles of IVF.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that even though it's dangerous and it's known that these things can be risky, people still really want a child.
Mm-hmm.
Through IVF, egg donation, surrogacy. And no one finds these women in Israel. It's true that no one like looks for these women like 5 years after, or 6 years after.
Right, to see how they're doing. So what are the studies showing missing. That you found? What are the studies showing that you found that have been done in Israel?
About the IVF?
Yeah.
So about IVF, I think they found that out of the $100 million they invest, that the government pays so women have fertility treatments,
mm-hmm.
like around like quarter of them are redundant. They end up with no, like with no child. And they also found that after the age of like 40, it's 44, it's not very useful. Like mm-hmm. most of the cycles fail, which is kind of like what we see in other countries too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And about surrogacy, there were some researches, and most of the women are poor. And I think what is missing to me is like how they are psychologically. Like, yeah. Are they depressed? Do they regret it? Do they still like think it was a good thing to do? So this I couldn't find.
We asked some of those questions in our study. Interestingly, women had higher rates of postpartum depression after their surrogate pregnancies than with their own biological spontaneous pregnancies, which is no surprise, right? These women are going home with empty arms. They have still all of the emotional changes their bodies are going through, and they have no baby at home with them. We found that. We also asked them, interestingly, women who had really adverse outcomes, some of them still talked about it as if they would do it again, like that they were still happy that they were surrogate mothers. And I just think that is, as you said, an interesting psychological phenomena, if you will. Like, it's just really interesting. I don't know if it's the language that they're given or told, you know, you're on a journey, you're on this beautiful journey, and, you know, they're providing life, and, you know, this language that they're given throughout their whole experience that helps to kind of shape how they view about it afterwards. I don't know, but I found it very interesting. And I had a gal on Venus Rising who was a surrogate mother, and she lost her, she had to have a hysterectomy after her pregnancy with her last surrogacy. And she still talked about it as, you know, this beautiful thing still. And I, you know, still very giving of herself, which I found very interesting.
I think it's, I don't like, it's a podcast. This is the most extreme podcast there is. So I think I can say, I think it's brainwashed, some of it.
Yeah. It's, yeah.
There was a show in Israel Now that they showed like an Israeli agency. And it's the same tactics that we saw, like showing pictures of babies and the same advertisements of help someone and make money and be a wonderful person. So I think in Israel, we don't have like women that do it three times, but I did hear about women who did it two times. And I also spent a lot of time thinking about it. It really interested me.
Yeah.
Why are they so happy?
Yeah, it is. It's really interesting. I would be interested to see in a follow-up study too, the kinds of women, at least in the United States, who become surrogate mothers. Are they professionally more likely to be in like servant type roles, or like, I don't want to say servant type roles, maybe that's a bad, but you know, like I think of nursing, I'm a nurse as well. I think of that as like a type of a servant, you know, I'm serving a medical community, I'm serving a patient population. And so I'm wondering if women who are surrogate mothers are in these like kind of, you know, military wives are targeted, right? Because it's a service to help someone else. Their husbands are serving this country, and, you know, and now they're able to help someone else. And so it'd be interesting to see the types of careers, if they have careers, that these women have, you know, if they have that kind of, if they work.
Like the agencies, they look for women that missing something in their lives, because I spend a lot of time, you know, investigating the agencies, and they really like organize it for you. Like you have a group of women. I saw that in the United States, they have t-shirts, like matching t-shirts. There is a transfer group, and you do all these things together. I saw there is like a transfer day. I don't know if they have it in Israel, that the group of women that started together, I guess, do the transfers together. And they have like the support groups. But it's not real support. Like it's support, like the psychologist, the social worker, they're all from the agency.
Right. They're not outside. They're very much part of, they have something to gain from it as well.
Yeah, they feel like they gain something from it. Like a group of friends, they're all friends, but it's only for the time of the surrogacy, I think. And like in the movie about Merav Michaeli, which I wanted to talk about, they showed the hospital. They didn't show the surrogate, but they showed the hospital where she gave birth. And I guess she is not a very rich lady, but the hospital is like very expensive. So you're like, I think for women, like you get like an experience. It's an entire experience. You have a new friends, mm-hmm. and you get like the best like medical treatment mm-hmm. that maybe you wouldn't get with your own children. And there is a lot of photo shooting I saw in the agencies. I saw like success mm-hmm. photos, like the surrogate and the babies and the couple. In Israel, we don't see them. We only see the couples when they return. Mm-hmm. We usually don't see the women. Mm-hmm. But I think this is my conclusion, that you get like attention. You get like to feel like needed for some time. Yeah. And the groups, like the women that do it, for in the US, for Israeli couples, they're most of the time alone. Like the couples visit them in the beginning sometimes. Like this is what is usually, like they go visit her and then they can come only when the baby is born. So gotcha. This is what I thought about, that they're probably very lonely and they only have like the agency and this like group they make to support them. I think this is also draws the women. I don't know if it's logical what I'm saying, but I really saw like a social side to it. Like they really make an experience for the women.
Yeah.
But it's damaging to their health and their mental health in the end, even if it looks great.
Mm-hmm. We've talked a little bit about the difference, and talked about money and how it plays a factor in this. So oftentimes it's a rich couple, a rich family, or wealthy family who uses the services of a surrogate who is not as wealthy or maybe in poverty, actually, especially maybe in Ukraine or Nepal. Can you talk a little bit about some celebrities, and maybe you can talk about the movie here that you wanted to bring up about that dynamic? And in Israel, do you see that same, like in the United States, you know, Elton John, his kids came through surrogacy. You know, we have tons of celebrities, politicians who are having kids this way, the Kardashians. So in Israel, is that the same?
Yes. So in Israel, like it's a traditional country. Like it's mm-hmm. common to have like a family and to have children, even if you're like not a religious person. And this is why surrogacy and all the other stuff are popular. And we also have the demographic war against the Arabs. Like this is something that we talk about, that the Jews bring this, I think it's 2.4 kids per family, and the Arabs bring like that. Yeah. There is a demographic war in Israel.
Wow.
So these two things combined, they make surrogacy very popular.
Right.
Because everyone has
really valuable in Israel. Yeah.
What?
Family is very, it's cherished. It's valuable. I was reading.
Yeah, it's valuable.
The highest population.
Yes. And also it's a small country. So it's common to visit your parents like every week, every 2 weeks, like to have a Shabbat dinner. We don't have a public transportation in the weekends. So if you don't have a family and you live like in a remote place, you're kind of alone in the weekend. Mm. And this is why like it's expected from everyone to have children, even if you're gay, for example, or can't have children. Regarding like celebrities, so all the gay celebrities bring children to through surrogacy. Last time I showed you Asi Azar, and we have a few male gay politicians that also brought children to surrogacy. And it's also like every time a celebrity brings a child to surrogacy, they receive a movie, not only Merav Michaeli. The Asi Azar movie, they even met the egg donor. Like they did a group meeting. Asi Azar, which is like a host, a radio host, a TV reality show host, his partner and the egg donor and the surrogate. And it all like looks wonderful. There was a TV crew that came from Israel to photo shoot them.
Wow.
Yes. And about Merav Michaeli, so she is... So I used to like her. I don't know if I can show the picture. I don't know. I can post it after the podcast. So she used to be like the head of the feminist party, and she was against having children. She was against surrogacy. She said it's like trading the female body in the past.
Right.
And she didn't want a child for many years. And then last year, during the corona, when you weren't like supposed to leave your house, she and her husband flew to the US unexpectedly. And then they came back. And they declared that they brought a child to surrogacy.
Wow.
Yeah. And I can read you the post if you want. I will try to translate it.
Yes, please.
So she said that the first time that Lior told her that let's have a baby, she was sure she was a joke. But he managed to convince her to start to go on this journey with him. So she went on a journey with him. Like they say it in Hebrew, Masa, but it's funny because it's the language of the surrogacy agencies.
Mm-hmm.
So she said that she decided to go on this journey with him. And they met Kelsey, a wonderful American woman who wanted to help people in our situation and also support her wonderful family. So this is what she said. So the surrogate is a woman named Kelsey, which we don't see in the movie.
Right.
And she admits that she needed the money. She needed the money, but also really wanted to help people in their situation,
mm-hmm.
which is people that just didn't want children for many years until they were too old.
Right. Which, when I was reading, from what I understood, I thought that, and maybe this is like the gray area, because in the United States, we have these recommendations that aren't followed. But I thought in Israel, you couldn't use the services unless it was medically necessary. Like waiting was not a reason, or you know, following your career path first, getting married late wasn't a reason. So it seems like this is a gray area.
So they did it in the US.
No, in Israel.
Oh, legally, they tried fertility treatments. Yes. I think they had to try. And she said she tried fertility treatments and they didn't succeed. Mm. But she's 54.
Right.
So if she tried it a year or two even before, not that I'm disrespecting it.
Right.
But yeah, so it's not that hard, I guess.
Okay.
Still want to do it. So she did it. And her husband is a comedian.
Okay.
So while they were in the US waiting for the baby, he also decided to write a book. I'll show it to you. This is like the book. This is him and the baby.
Okay.
It's the guide for the starting Israeli. This is how it's called. And this is them with the baby. Like this is the...
Yes. Yes.
So he said that because his son was born in the US, he writes a book. He wanted to write a book for him to tell him how it's like to be Israeli.
Hmm.
So they brought the child through surrogacy, and then he also used it for the PR.
Right.
The child was born in the US and now needs a book.
Right.
So they were accepted very nicely in Israel. Everyone was very happy that Merav Michaeli decided to become a mother, even though she was against children all these years.
So what has you most concerned as far as surrogacy and the fertility industry in Israel? We've talked about a lot of things, but what's most concerning to you?
So I'm concerned about this, that they really, I think regarding medically, there are like people of medicine that can tell you that surrogacy is dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And there is research done. There is like an Israeli like fertility research organization. Maybe it's similar to yours. Can send it to you later. And they do the researches and they can tell you it's dangerous. It's after this and that age. Doesn't really work.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what is missing is first the politicians. That the politicians in Israel, they take a very mild approach against these things. The public wants surrogacy, wants like to purchase eggs, wants everyone to have families. And if a politician takes it away from them or limits them, it will be unpopular.
Right.
So we don't really have politicians, not from the right and not from the left, and that are oppose it.
Mm-hmm.
And the religious ones don't oppose it too, because they also like a Haredi woman, a religious family might also like need or want to use surrogacy.
I see.
So there is no one that will take a stand against it.
Mm-hmm.
And what is also missing is the feminist voice. Like the feminists, it's either like our Labour Party head or they support the gays in this subject. Like don't want to go against the gays.
You kind of led me into my next question. As a feminist, what are your concerns then with surrogacy in Israel beyond the medical dangers to women? And interestingly, as you're talking, I find myself thinking this is a country that really values family, really values children, really values bringing up a family. But it seems like they do it at the cost of women, right? Like the woman's role is to make this family or figure out, you know, or use another woman in another country to make their family. And I just find that really interesting. But from a feminist perspective, in Israel, what are your concerns beyond the medical risks to women?
The concerns if surrogacy continues.
Mm-hmm.
look, there are surrogates that claim to be feminists, you know, mm-hmm. that they were surrogates, but with all the other things, they will agree with me. So, like, I don't think that if surrogacy is legal, it means that strip clubs or prostitution will be legal or something else, or the pay. I don't think it's related to that. Mm. My concerns is I will try to explain it in English. Before there was the feminist movement, you know, who there was the children got rights before. Like, first we decided that, like, children are people, that they have rights.
Imagine no, that.
They don't need to work in coal mines and stuff like that. And then after that, women got rights. And I feel that regarding the rights of children, we're going back. That we have feminism, like, women that are rich can buy a child and not, like, miss a day in their career. So this is feminist, okay? Mm-hmm. Like, the word loses its meaning when you talk about surrogacy, I think, and all the other, like, donor-conceived people, what you call donor-conceived yeah. people. Like, we have total feminism and equality. A man can purchase a child and a woman can purchase a child. And the woman, I also saw women that can't have their own children and they're single. So they purchase an egg and a womb and a sperm. Mm. There are cases like that in Israel. Mm-hmm. Why? It's not theirs, but they can decide at least, like, choose.
And I often think about the rights of the child. It seems like we're going backwards there too, right? Like, so in that case, this child has so many, I would be so confused as far as who am I? Why am I here? I have an egg donor. I have a sperm donor. I came from this womb, but this girl is my mother. Like, I think that we're losing the rights of a child as well. Like, we're kind of going backwards. Not only are the rights of women, because as you said earlier, you can pay for things. So if the money is enough, a woman will eat a certain way. In India, they have, before they had surrogate mothers all living, they had to live in a dorm type setting. You know, they couldn't get out of bed. They had to listen to certain types of music. And so with enough money, certainly you can buy these things. And now you can buy the type of child you want. We have a gay couple that's suing, because they received a girl instead of a boy. And so I think that we're going backwards on both fronts, women's rights and children's rights.
Yes. And the concept that the rights of the parents come before the rights of the child is very dangerous. And I can tell you, I talked to people in Israel that were conceived from, like, donor conceived. I even talked to a woman that was born from an egg theft. Yeah, there was an egg theft, like, scandal, like, around 20 something years ago in Israel. Yeah, what happened? It's an interesting story. I brought a lot of crazy stories for you. They convinced women that went through fertility treatments to give some of their eggs and receive the treatments for free.
Sure. Okay.
And they also increased the hormones they gave them and took more eggs. So I talked to several, like, people that were born from this or from other, like, donation, and some of them feel adopted. They feel adopted or half adopted. So it's a real trauma. Mm-hmm. It's a real trauma to children. And it's in Israel, you're not allowed to talk about it, like, because it's so popular, the surrogacy and the egg donation and the sperm donation. So, you know, we're supposed to accept this, that these children, like, it's just the donor. You're not supposed to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And it's not true, because I talk to many young people and they do, like, question, you know, that they question, because it's the same, like, everywhere. They question and they go to these websites and they want to open the files. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's just not fair to disregard it only because people want children.
Do donor-conceived children, since we kind of went down this pathway, do they have access to medical records? Is sperm donation truly anonymous, or do they have access to these records? This is kind of a law that's changing around the globe now that we have donor-conceived people who are growing up and are demanding these rights. What's it like in Israel?
So they don't have access. They don't have access. And yeah, it's like the rights of the parents before, because they don't want like another person to be involved. It's the rights of the donor. He only wanted the money. He didn't want anyone to go after him.
Right.
So who are you to now say, let's open the files and let the child find him? So it's like the rights of the adults. They signed up for something. And
another technology that's really taken off here, at least in California, I'm sure it has in Israel, but I'd like to talk to you about it, is what they call fertility preservation or egg freezing, where they agencies kind of target young women who might be working on their career, or going to college, not really interested in finding the right person yet, so they can bank their eggs for later use when they're older and ready to settle down. Is that something that you've seen kind of taking off in Israel as well?
Yeah. It's very, 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 very popular.
Mm-hmm.
And, because there's a lot of high tech here and women work in the high tech. And they're high tech. I don't know. I think there are high tech companies in Israel that fund it.
Okay.
And many women do it, and also celebrities. We also had a movie about a celebrity. I don't remember her name now. And she's some kind of a model, and she decided to freeze her eggs, and they did a whole movie about her journey to freeze her eggs. And also what is interesting, so it's popular here, and many women do it. Many of my friends did it. And it's not easy. Like I saw from them that it's a few weeks, it's a lot of hormones. Some of them couldn't walk. And also I noticed that it changed from egg freezing to fertility preservation. Like they changed the language. We don't know how much is preserved here. And they changed it in Hebrew too. It's like, it's being remarketed now. It's not egg freezing anymore in Hebrew. They also found like a nicer definition.
Right. But like you said, there's no real concrete data on what's being preserved. They're taking a large number of eggs from women using hormones that we know can be harmful and are harmful in egg donors. Women who've donated their eggs multiple times are now having issues with cancer and other medical conditions. So yeah, what are we preserving and what are we doing? So you said you had a lot of stories to share. Do you have any more interesting stories that you'd like to anecdotally share with us?
Any more?
Because these are things we can't find very readily.
I brought what?
These are things we can't find very readily, you know, online. Or it's interesting. The press doesn't. Press does cover celebrity stories of this, and like you said, oftentimes the surrogate woman is nowhere to be seen, or like her head is chopped off. We just see like a growing belly and like two dads beside her. Or, but you know, people need to hear these personal stories as well.
So regarding celebrities, so there are two things I wrote about. One is regarding Ukraine, which is also very popular for Israel. So during now, like the war, a lot of babies were stuck, Israeli babies in Ukraine. And the best story is a couple that their child was stuck. And another celebrity, a model, Natalie Dadon, went to Ukraine to help them fetch the baby. And then they posted a story and they wrote, there is one woman that 2 weeks it risks her lives, suffers from cold, and no one knows what she eats there every day. And they thank her. And they named the baby after this woman. And who is this woman? Not the surrogate. This model, Natalie Dadon. So they named their child after the model that helped them fetch the baby from Ukraine.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nothing about the woman that carried her in a war-torn country.
What?
Nothing about the woman who carried
the baby. No. She wasn't even mentioned. I think it was said that she left with her family after the baby was born, like, because it's war. And the second one that is funny that I wanted to bring to you, we have a show in Israel called The Race to the Million.
Okay.
Which like they do, it's couples. They do like like tasks, and one gets like a million shekels. And there were two gay brothers there.
Okay.
And they asked them, if you win the million shekels, what will you do? And they said, we purchase a baby. It's expensive. If we buy them, if we get them, we purchase a baby. So we need to laugh, Kali. We can't.
Right. If we don't laugh, we'll get so depressed that we won't be able to do our work.
There are more weird stuff that happened in Israel because we're so obsessed with birth. Like there was also a case of parents of a soldier that died, and they decided to take his sperm and bring a child through surrogacy. Don't know if it happens in the US.
Yeah, it's happening more often, post-mortem donation, which has its own ethical quandaries. It's happening. And I just think about this, the baby and what.
Yes. So we have all these things. We have any kind of combination you want.
Do you know any information on, I think it was earlier this year, there were former surrogates who were being sued. Tell us more about that. I was having a hard time finding any information on that.
So they wrote Facebook posts in an open like surrogacy group on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And they were sued by the agency.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the stories of these women were shared already about like medical damage that they, like they, it, there isn't still a lot of information, and they're still waiting. I think it's this month. It continues the trial this month or next month. And they were sued for a lot of money.
Because they were saying not untrue things. They were saying things about their own experience.
We don't know.
Ah, okay.
I have the names of the surrogates that were sued, but we still can't like expose what was written.
Okay.
Yeah. And but I think it's an, I heard so many cases. You hear so many cases.
Mm-hmm.
Is there going to be something good there? Something happy? No, it's probably something I think not very good, horrible. And it doesn't even matter to me, because even the fact that the agency dared to sue them, like the women that like a year before they told them, thank you for bringing life and stuff like that. I think it shows enough about the silencing.
Mm-hmm.
And there was also a case, a very interesting case of a woman that she appeared on a promotional movie for surrogacy. And a few years after she appeared in an investigative report, now she has a GoFundMe account. She appeared in that film. She was very happy. She said that she gave life and everything. And now she suffers from medical damage and she doesn't support surrogacy anymore.
Mm.
And the agency didn't pay her. And this is why she also needs a GoFundMe account now.
Yeah.
So we have it too here. And I don't think she's being sued, but it's also something that recently happened.
Right. But now she has probably a chronic medical condition that she doesn't have funds to pay for or take care of.
Yeah.
We've had quite a few women lose their lives through surrogacy. Have you had any experience with that, Shulamit?
So there is one woman who committed suicide.
Mm.
But her story was published. And I guess there are more. I guess there isn't a lot of tracking about it in Israel too. Now, like I know there are like six surrogates that are being sued. From time to time, I hear like another story here, another story there. Where are all the rest?
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what happened to them.
Right. I feel like journalism needs to be covering these stories as well, and where they're really failing. They're only covering, you know, infertility always starts with a heartbreaking story, and then in comes big fertility, as I call it, to romanticize it and to make having a baby you know, romanticize the whole IVF surrogacy. And then we tell about the success story and how amazing it is, but we're not hearing the other side of the dangers, the harms psychologically to men or to women and to children.
It's very heavily marketed in Israel. Like I did a small, like I looked around, and almost every newspaper I found has commercials by surrogacy agencies. Mm. Right, they don't put it on TV because like people don't need it all the time. But when people like search for surrogacy, mm-hmm. like almost every newspaper has like has commercials for surrogacy agencies. And it's also easy because if there is a change in the law, like you can do two things. You can either like bring an expert, or these agencies, you know, they make all these like kind of medical articles. Like a lot of the like medical legal stuff I found about surrogacy is by the agencies themselves.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Which is a huge conflict of interest. Yeah, when you Google, you know, commercial surrogacy laws in Israel, it leads you always back to agencies, and they speak about it in such glowing light. And so when a woman, maybe an uneducated woman, maybe she is educated, but she, you know, oh, maybe I'll be a surrogate. That would be great. Extra income, help family. This sounds wonderful. I'm going to Google it. The only thing she reads are things from the agency, nothing that's actually a third party information. That would be correct.
But in Israel, it's in the newspapers themselves. All our large newspapers have like marketed content. Sometimes it's written small in the on the top, marketed content, because you have like to warn, but no one sees it. So the newspapers, the same newspapers that cover the demonstrations also have commercials of surrogacy agencies. Really, like almost everyone I found, even religious newspapers. I think maybe there is only one that didn't have these commercials. So this is hard because we don't have the money to compete. And it's also, when there is a movie about like surrogacy or things like that, so you know, it's easy. The agency, they give you a hotel room, they make a tour, like it's visible that these movies like were made, are guided, let's say,
right,
by the agency. They don't like, they go where like they tell them to go.
Mm-hmm.
They usually don't see the surroundings. If it's a poor area, you don't see it. You won't see like the hotel and how they meet the, you know, all marketed stuff. So it's easy. It's easy for the newspapers and the TV channels when they want an item about surrogacy. Just go to the agency. Who's the latest celebrity who purchased the baby through you? And they have lists in the surrogacy agencies. I found a list of all the celebrities that passed there. It's hard to compete with that.
What do you think the solution is?
The solution, if I was brave, I would start to call them out one after the other. So they would stop publishing these agencies.
Mm-hmm. You are brave, first of all. So
yeah, I'm brave, but it will also take time. I think that when we see this kind of content, we need to ask. Like in this movie about Michaeli, like they didn't... last time we saw like the ads to find women in the US, like with the money and everything. So it's not that hard to find it online. They just don't put it in the movies.
Right.
It's not hard to take it. Like we need to criticize it more, to ask, why didn't you go to interview the woman? Why do you even accept it that these celebrities say film only us and you say it's okay? I don't think it's okay to make a movie that shows like just a celebrity couple.
Yeah. What do you think the bigger solution is as far as surrogacy in your country and third party reproduction in Israel?
I think we need to expose the damage more. And I think first people need like to hear how the industry expanded. People need to understand it's not what they're imagining in their heads. Like an infertile couple that tried for many years, and here is a woman that wants to help. And I think that we need to hear like the children that were born from it. Like it's it exists in the United States for like 30 years, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And in Israel, 20 years, I don't know a lot of people that were born through surrogacy that are like open about it, like on my Facebook.
I think it's a matter of time. I think that they'll, just like the donor conceived community is starting to speak up. I think that, I don't know, I'm hopeful that children born through surrogacy will also start speaking up and we'll start to hear their voice. Because you're right, I think it's an important voice that we've ignored for the sake of convenience and money. But we need to hear from those people.
And I have no idea what they will say. And egg too, because if it's gays, it comes together.
Mm-hmm.
So we almost don't, like, I don't know anyone who's above like 20 something that can tell me if it was good for me, if it was bad, like, mm-hmm. except like the people that I spoke to, but there aren't many. Mm-hmm. Did they suffer any trauma from it? Did they try to find the surrogate or the egg donor? We don't know about it. These people exist somewhere.
And I wonder how many parents are honest with their children. If it's not obvious, you know, if it's a man and a woman, are they honest with their children that they were born through a contractual surrogacy agreement, or are they not?
They're not honest about the egg purchase and sperm too.
Right.
Not always honest about it and about surrogacy.
Surrogacy would be harder though, because like egg donation and sperm donation, we have things like 23andMe, Ancestry, those things will link us back, but there's nothing to link a child that you can trace back to the surrogate mother.
Yeah, but it's like being, I don't know, but I guess it's like being adopted, like the right. Friends of your parents, someone
I think it's still be.
Yes, how people learn that they're adopted many times. Yes.
Yeah.
And psychologically, I wonder, because there's something narcissistic about it. I think I say horrible things today, but there's something narcissistic about it, knowing that your parents brought you because your mother was really didn't find a boyfriend and was too old, or because they're gays. Like it's I wonder how the children will feel about it.
And there are cases where, you know, we've talked a lot about women who have waited too long, or couples. And also just convenience factor. And there are people who have relied on third-party reproduction to have children who have actual physical limitations. We don't want to minimize that. It doesn't make it right. Doesn't make surrogacy the right option. But I don't want to minimize maybe the pain and the anguish that some of these couples do go through who want to build a family. That's certainly not what, I don't think you would mean that either. So I just don't want us to sound like we're being nonchalant about that, because it is heartbreaking, but it's not the solution either.
I'm not nonchalant, but I really think there's a debate about it with myself. Is it okay, like, to bring a child because you want, like, there are now gay single men that also bring children through surrogacy. So, like, it's expanded. First, it was like infertile couples. Then, like, who are you to say that gays can't? And if gays can, who are you to say that someone who is single and mm-hmm. didn't find love can't? And mm-hmm. and like, it goes on and on. So,
and it's sad because there are people who have really abused this, right? There's no screening process to buying children, like adoption. There's no background check. So, who are these people that are single who, you know, sometimes it makes me question their motives. There's a sperm donor who goes around inseminating women or giving them semen samples around the country, and he has over 100 children already. And he's just, and to me, yes, it's very narcissistic. There's got to be something. There's something not right there. And we're just allowing those kinds of things to happen. And I really think that abolishing it is the only way that we protect women and children.
Yes, it needs to stop. It's very weird to me that it will be always be weird to me to see these commercials. I never thought I will see the day when I see commercials of like pregnancy and money near it. And the same for eggs too, yes.
Well, our time is running out. I've had a lovely time chatting with you, and I really appreciate you chatting with me. I did want to let people know, because we didn't talk about it, but you can find your comics on Facebook and Instagram. You can find True Limit on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We will include those links in the descriptor of this podcast, but I'll also say them here now. www.facebook.com/politicallycorrect/. You can find her there. Also facebook.com/why ruin everything. That's her comic. Also Instagram, why ruin everything. You can find her there. But thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me about your passion for the subject and your passion for trying to protect women and children in Israel. Please contact me anytime. Would love to have you back on the show. But again, thank you for taking the time today.
Thank you, Kelly. And have a great day. Don't be sad.
Yes, I won't.
Continue with your work. Be strong.
Yes, I appreciate that. I'd like to thank every listener and subscriber for tuning into our show. Our goal, as ever, is to create conversation around the globe, facilitate discussion, and encourage you all to think beyond the masses. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Venus Rising. If you like our show and want to know more, check us out at cbc-network.org. Leave us a review on iTunes, too, and join us next week for another conversation on fertility, infertility, and women's reproductive health.